Brought to you by 7th Street Casino and GEHA Insurance.
And it's Williams with another touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome in to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. My name's Pete Sweeney, hanging out with Jay Binkley after the Chiefs' dominant 40-9 win over the Oakland Raiders. The best part of this victory, I thought, Jay, was the fact that we saw continued success of this defense. The defense was the question entering the year. Could the defense be good enough to get the Chiefs to the Super Bowl? I thought the interceptions by Tyrann Mathieu and then the pick six by Juan Thornhill set the tone. And you saw an output from the Chiefs offense that was more than 30 points. But at the same time, it still feels like there is some room to be desired. There's still some room for them to get better. And I think that's a silver lining of this game. You win 40-9, you beat a team that is way less better than you, way not in your league, and now you look toward the New England Patriots.
Winning is so difficult in the National Football League. Look around the league. Teams are losing, and they shouldn't. Again, the Chiefs haven't lost by more than a score since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback, but this is the defense, and we're seeing this transition. Could they back up what happened in Mexico City? And they did today. This Raiders team, Derek Carr, we all know he struggles at Arrowhead Stadium. He's very bad at Arrowhead Stadium. That continued today. The offense is one of those things, and this isn't an excuse game, but let's face it, the wind and everything, it was a factor in this game. But the defense picked it up. This is a team win, Pete. This was a team win. And not only am I happy with the way the defense played, but the fact in the fourth quarter, Darrell Williams was hurt. He's out of the game. Darwin Thompson, who was talked about this week by Bienemy, he might get more of a chance to run. It was by necessity because Darrell Williams hurt Darwin Thompson in the game. And you got to see it. But not only that, but the Chiefs in the fourth quarter, instead of relying on Pat to keep chucking the ball around the yard in these conditions, preserve Pat Mahomes, hand the ball off. 12 of the last 15 plays went to Darwin Thompson, had 44 yards rushing. For a while, Pat Mahomes is the leading rusher again. He was the leading rusher in Mexico City, had 25 yards today. And until that drive of Darwin Thompson kind of coming to life, very small guy but extremely strong. I told you, pound for pound, might be the toughest guy on the Kansas City Chiefs in the weight room. But they were able to ice the game by running the football in the fourth. You preserve that lead. You pound the rock, you don't put your quarterback in precarious situations, and you ice the game and win the game. All-around team effort for the Chiefs today.
Arrowhead Stadium, still an absolute nightmare for Derek Carr. He finishes 20 of 30 for 222 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions, a passer rating of 71.8. Now 0-6 at Arrowhead Stadium. And this is a guy, Jay, who doesn't really throw a ton of interceptions, but against the Chiefs at Arrowhead, he throws a lot of them.
Not only that, but his last 23 games, picked off five times by the Chiefs, six times. Now, the opponents in his last 23 games, only four interceptions against Derek Carr. This makes six interceptions now by the Chiefs defense and the AFC West opponents between Phillip Rivers throwing four in Mexico City and Derek Carr two tonight. In the safety play, Thornhill, the pick six, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, the safeties, you know, playing that quarterback on the defense and rising. The secondary's been very good for the Chiefs, and a big part of that's the leadership of the Honey Badger and now Thornhill and his development. And he's getting to play with the guy in Honey Badger. He used to watch. He used to watch his film at Virginia before games. He admired him, and now he's playing with him. Those two are side by side there. It's kind of the quarterbacks of the secondary. But Derek Carr's not good here. The Chiefs defense made him look bad, continued to make him look bad. This was a big game for the Raiders. They were hammered by 31 points against the Jets. I said, you know, throw that out the window. They had a chance to come in the Arrowhead, leave the game with the same record as the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs would have gone and played New England next week. They have the Tennessee Titans, which that's proving to be a tougher game for the Raiders, the way that they've been playing, especially with Tannehill 5-1 down the stretch. But they had a chance, but the Chiefs, they were physical. There's been games where the Chiefs haven't been the physical team. I felt today they were completely the physical team. Now, they did struggle in run defense. Josh Jacobs had a good performance against them, but it's bend but don't break. Force Derek Carr to beat you. They fell in a hole 10-0 in Oakland, and then all of a sudden the Chiefs had that miraculous second quarter, their best quarter of the year, forcing Derek Carr to play. But again, six interceptions now by the secondary, including the first pick six of the year by Thornhill. Six interceptions now against this division. Andy Reid, He goes to 25-3 against this division since 2015. He moves to 18-3 after the bye. This did not spell Raiders victory at all in Kansas City coming in this one.
I just look at this game, and what you realize is the Raiders are a team that has some pieces here. The defense is going to have some guys that you like. Josh Jacobs runs for 104 yards. You have Darren Waller, the tight end, for 100 yards. They're missing a key piece of this, and it's Derek Carr. And if you can't win at Arrowhead Stadium, especially when I still, and I said it to begin the show, I don't think the Chiefs' offense is still playing as good as it could possibly play, and you're getting that kind of effort, and you're still losing 40-9. This is how it's going to be for the foreseeable future until you find that position. Now, we said the Chiefs turned their attention to the New England Patriots. They actually still play tonight in Sunday Night Football. It's the Patriots taking on the Houston Texans, so we'll see how that goes. But say Houston can get that win, then the Chiefs have a chance to give the Patriots their third loss next week. They're 8-4. They still have a lot of football to play, the final fourth of this season. And look right now, you just win the games in front of you, and I feel like the Chiefs are in good position
to do
that.
Well, dealing with injuries as well. Frank Clark goes out with the shoulder injury. Tano Passanio ends up with the big sack for the Chiefs. Darrell Williams gets hurt in this game. And they're going to need this defense to travel. They're going to have to find a way to put some dirt on Tom Brady's jersey. That's the one way that he's been beating the Chiefs is staying clean when he plays for them. But I love the fact that the physicality of the Kansas City Chiefs, just the way they kind of pounded the rock. Now, still something to be desired. 96 total yards rushing for the Chiefs in a game with the wind conditions that you really needed to be able to run the football. But Oakland, worst defense as far as the deep ball. They should feel lucky today. There was so much wind. Pat Mahomes, the best quarterback with the deep ball throwing it. But you have to be happy for the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. Seeing the defense step up. Mahomes can't always carry it, if he can't always carry it, can the defense step up and do it? They check that box. And also, can they ice a game away at the end of the game by running the football? They proved that today.
Chiefs cornerback Rashad Fenton leaves this game with a hamstring injury. You had Frank Clark with a shoulder injury, Darrell Williams with a hamstring injury. We should have some kind of updates coming at you soon with Andy Reid's postgame presser. This is a celebration for you guys. We want you to get involved. 913-576-7610. If you want to call us, you can also text us on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306.
This game's an indictment on Derek Carr. You know, the future of this division, we're seeing weird things. Phillip Rivers was maybe going to be benched today before the game that he played.
Yeah,
Drew
Lock, talking about that.
The Lee Summit native starting for the Denver Broncos. And I'll say this, Derek Carr can't win at Arrowhead Stadium. He's 0-6 now at the stadium. That's an indictment on him. Because you think about that great
rookie
class.
You got to get rid of it. You have to find a new quarterback.
The Raiders had more rushing yards from rookies, more sacks from rookies, more receiving yards second most receiving yards in the NFL, most yards from scrimmage and most sacks by rookies. You saw Trayvon Mullen. He's a rookie from Clemson, defensive back, get that pick that was reviewed and given back to the Kansas City Chiefs. But Derek Carr can't win here. And we saw it in college football with Jim Harbaugh, can't beat Michigan. 0-5 now. Derek Carr can't beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. If you can't beat your rival, you don't have your quarterback situation figured out. That's the best news for the Chiefs. They're the only teams in this division with the quarterback position figured out, as Drew Lock, Lee Summit native, celebrates the victory over the Chargers.
Yeah, I know that's tough for you. You got a Broncos win, but
Drew
Lock gets his first W. But let's talk about this Chiefs game again. It's 913-576-7610 or the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. Let's go out to the phone lines and talk to Chester. Chester, how you doing?
Yes, sir. 4-0 in the division, 4-0 on the scoreboard. Hold them down to 9. I take the whole month for my birthday gifts. They gave me a good birthday gift.
Happy birthday, Chester.
I don't know if they, not till the 22nd, but I take the whole month.
Okay.
Here for my birthday.
Happy birthday, Chester.
Running the table, controlling one's destiny. Who motivates the motivator? The quarterback said if the game's on the line, I'll motivate him to do a little running, and he did, even in the end zone. Look at Thornhill. Oh, yeah, rookie getting his first pick six. I'm elated over the defense. Little attitude, and the next game we can have a little bit higher expectation. And only results give you confidence. Only when you finish the fourth quarter and do what you do to control your fate in the fourth quarter, how you finish, how you start, how you maintain, how you finish. Total team, all three phases, you know, let us increase in expectation. I don't know if they ended in zero penalties. I got so happy I didn't even see that.
Oh, they did. The Raiders had 12 in this game.
No, I'm talking about the Chiefs on the penalties.
No, the Chiefs didn't have any.
Oh, okay. I'm just call it a birthday gift. They have motivated me in my motivated month of birthday.
Hey, Chester, last thing. What keeps the clothes clean?
All the agitation in the winning machine.
Thanks, Chester. That's right. Agitation in the winning machines keeps the clothes clean. Always like hearing from Chester. Yes, the big thing was zero penalties for the Chiefs.
Well, Andy Reid talked about that, and he's talked about it in the past, and it hasn't improved. So kudos to him. I mean, if you're going to mention that, you have to mention the times that he says something and it does improve.
But keep this
no
in mind,
penalties today.
But they're bottom half the NFL in penalties now. They came into this game 18th in penalties in the NFL. That includes the games on Thanksgiving. The Raiders were second penalties and penalty yards. Obviously, the Thanksgiving things change things. The Raiders are fourth in penalties and fourth in penalty yards. That's going to change because they had 12 penalties a day for 99 yards. Again, this division finds a way to poop its pants. The Chargers and Phillip Rivers did, and the Raiders. The Chargers are going to Charger. The Raiders are going to Raider. This is just what happens.
Already from John Gruden in the postgame press conference, quote, "We had an interception turned over by the Wizard of Oz," end quote. It is completely random. I obviously am happy that the Chiefs were able to get the benefit of that call. Clearly was pass interference, but the NFL has a true problem. They cannot be this random with whether or not they overturn penalties on review or not. It just seems silly at this point.
They did it to themselves because it's a booth review and it's a turnover or a touchdown. The other one was just as egregious as that one.
I agree.
I agree with Romo. He's saying, yeah, you know, you got to be consistent. There's got to be consistency in those calls. What you see now is why people are complaining about the NFL. It's why people were complaining so much about Travis Frederick getting those tripping calls against the Patriots. The NFL comes out and said, ah, sorry, we were wrong. Doesn't do the Dallas Cowboys any good in that game at this point, but it was a crucial third and one situation they faced in the penalties. We were screaming, we want the officials back, right? When the replacement officials there, people were screaming, we want the officials back. They come back and they still suck.
No, it's true. It is true. 913-576-7610. Let's go out to DJ. What's going on, DJ?
I am here. I am excited. I feel really, really good. Okay. I am giving my game ball to Mr. Juan Thornhill. I love what I saw. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give my honorable mention just to the defense, man. Listen, I got to piggyback kind of off of what Jay mentioned. Pete, something else too, man.
What's up, man?
The whole plaid Prince thing, man. I think that's pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you.
He's rocking plaid right now, to be honest with you.
I am.
I love it. And the reason why I said that, because I listen to the other guys that you have that do the mailbag and all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Tell that one guy, Matt, it sounds like he does the whole podcast from his bathroom. He got to find, like, a different location.
That sounds good. Thank you for the call.
I like his phone today. His phone was really good today, actually.
His phone did improve.
He's probably in the Appalachians, you know? That's where he lives, you know?
DJ getting off the line leaves a line open for you, 913-576-7610. Also, the Protein House, E with the Purpose text line, 69306. Let's go out to our guy, Fred. Fred, what's going on?
Yeah, I wonder if after the game, when Chucky went over and talked to Coach Reed, he probably apologized about the scuffle, and Andy probably said, well, it must be rough for your players to accept that this evening we were Rick James and you guys were our...
Very close.
Fred. You're real close there, Fred.
Very close, Fred.
I was telling you, Pete's mother's here, and I told her that from New York, and I told her we have a seven-second delay. Comes in very handy there.
Yeah, I mean, Fred knows better than that. I mean, this is a return caller.
Did you
Fred,
get it?
Yeah, we got it. It's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gone. It's going to do some Rick James there, you know?
Dan and KCK, let's get a little bit more wholesome here.
Hey, Pete, I think before I say anything, I'll be 52 this month. It's like an early birthday present.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dan.
I tell you something, when Cornwell made it 21-0, I thought the Raiders were deflated. I don't know what you guys think. I think they were deflated after that, but it was a great defensive performance. Mahomes with a touchdown, and then Williams with a touchdown. Let's take care of the Patriots. Take care of yourself, guys.
Oh, my God. Take care. A lot of birthdays with the call.
Thanks for the
Chester,
call.
Dan,
if it's your birthday, I guess you have to call in tonight. It's a birthday night. A really nice present today.
Was Fred talking about the apologies to Gary Dieter? Got some play action. You know what? Mahomes wouldn't have. I saw Dusty tweet about this. He's 100% right. Because I looked at Pete. Mahomes goes walking over there. When Dieter was getting face masked, I was like, man, he's taking care of his guy, isn't he? Taking care of his guy, Dieter.
Nobody messes with that guy, man. He just got off the injury report, practice squad, finally strapping up, and then here come the dirty Raiders trying to take his guy out.
Can you imagine if Mahomes got hurt protecting Dieter?
Best friends take care of best friends.
That's right. And I wouldn't let anybody. I wouldn't let you touch Pete, Bickley.
It doesn't matter if you're the reigning MVP of the National Football League. It doesn't matter if you are a eighth wide receiver.
Or the plaid prince.
Your best friend is your best friend. Yeah. DJ talking about the plaid prince. To Dan's point, very quickly, I felt like coming into this game, as soon as Derek Carr made a crucial mistake, the game was going to be over. And you saw that initially when they start with the football, and in a second, the Honey Badger has the ball.
Derek Carr screams no confidence at times.
Especially in Arrowhead Stadium.
Especially at Arrowhead Stadium. That is a guy at times, you're not worried about him rallying. And again, it comes down to the mindset of the other team. Are you fearing the guy on the other sideline? I believe Pat Mahomes instills fear on opponents not to have him on the field because he's going to hurt you in some way or another. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, they've got that it. And we've seen Lamar Jackson at this point. And we've seen, you know, Deshaun Watson at times. Andrew Luck had that for a little while. And then, of course, he retires. But to have that fear of the guy on the other sideline, Derek Carr instills fear in nobody. He had a deer in the headlights look about him. And this is good. This is good news for the Chiefs in the AFC West. They won this division three straight years. There is no reason. There is nobody out there that you're saying is challenger to the Chiefs. And I know the Raiders could have closed this up and had the same record had they won. But again, they have to win. They lose 40-9.
And for what it's worth, I mean,
but they find ways to lose, Pete. This division does not have quarterback play. This division does not have teams with ice water in their veins. This team throws interceptions up for grabs like the Chargers did in Mexico City. This division doesn't have anybody with cutthroat instincts except for number 15 over here at Arrowhead.
For what it's worth, the Raiders season isn't over here, but you look at the last 2 weeks, the New York Jets, who lose to the Bengals today, 34-3. The Kansas City Chiefs now 40-9. You're not feeling good about yourself. You're not feeling good about your quarterback. This division, for what you can say here, I mean, this thing is over.
I do believe the Raiders might be the team in this division, the second best team, because of this rookie class.
Sure.
But again, I don't know if they have a quarterback.
They don't.
Because they have a quarterback that can't go to their biggest rival and win.
The Chiefs win this football game 40-9. Right now, you're listening to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. We'll be right back.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. Chiefs win 40-9 at Arrowhead Stadium against the rival Oakland Raiders. They improve to 8-4. The Raiders, the next up in the division, at 6-6, but two wins over them. Might be too little too late for Oakland here.
Two wins, they're not even close. 28-10 in Oakland. Chiefs had a touchdown, called back in that game. Lose handily here. And that's the thing. I do think that is the future, and that's not a great future. I mean, great rookie class. Congrats to the Raiders. Congrats on drafting Josh Jacobs, who's put up about 200 yards in two games against the Chiefs this year, and they keep getting destroyed. The Chargers and Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers threw another pick today that's 10 against the division. He throws a pick against the Broncos. The Broncos start Kansas City's guy, Drew Lock, 134 yards, two touchdowns.
Who cares?
And a pick. But again, who's going to be that guy? Who's that dominant team? The Broncos didn't even have a coach in Vic Fangio. That is not a good combination with Drew Lock. This is good times for Kansas City. This team stepped up as a team. A team victory. We've seen the defense kind of stepping up the last couple of weeks. Now, they've reverted, too. They look great against the Broncos, 9 sacks. Got 5 sacks against the Packers. Still let the Packers dominate the last 5 minutes. Took a step back, or forward against the Vikings. Another step back against the Titans. They've taken 2 steps forward the last couple of weeks, and that should be celebrated. Get this team some mojo in the month of December. Andy Reid, 4th all-time in winning percentage in December.
It seems crazy to say, though. I mean, I just look at this game, and I understand the Chiefs' offense put up 31. There's still room for improvement there, and that, I think, is a silver lining. Like, you look at Mahomes' numbers, he still doesn't seem completely right. 15 of 29 for 175 and a touchdown. Next week is a game where you're not going to be afforded a lot of room to make any mistakes, so you're going to hope that the offense picks up to where the defense is next week.
And it's been a couple of weird games. The 7,500 feet altitude in Mexico City. This was a lot of wind. We saw what happened when Carlson kicked it for the Raiders. It was a worse shank than you kicking a field goal at Arrowhead Stadium. Shock Chucky went for that field goal later to just get 3 points when they needed touchdowns on the board. But you know what? He didn't have to. That's the thing with Mahomes. He didn't have to go light it up, Pete. You know why? Because they were able. This wasn't a close game. If this is a close game, Pat Mahomes is well over 200 yards. And it will. But they were able to settle down.
You're saying run the clock football. Out at the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Darwin Thompson looked like the only running back quarter. who could drain the clock there.
No question. When they had that big lead, there was no reason for Mahomes to go out there and keep lighting up the scoreboard, throwing the football. They scored 40 points. Two of them came on that run back there at the end. But they were able to kind of ice the clock around, let the Raiders screw up, which they did, 12 penalties in this game, run the clock at the end. You didn't need Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes could have padded his stats in this game. Could have, but they didn't need him to. And that's the important thing. Again, 175 doesn't matter. The fact is he can do it if he had to. He didn't have to.
Call us up if you want to talk Chiefs Raiders 913-576-7610, or you can hit us on the Protein House E with a Purpose text line 69306. Let's go back out to the phone lines and talk to you. What's going on, you?
What's going on, gentlemen? This is a big deal for me. I mean, I think the Chiefs didn't have any turnovers. And the biggest one for me is the no penalty.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, because we always let penalties kill us. Granted, it's against the Raiders, but they are a fringe playoff team right now. Another thing, the 6 interceptions in 2 games, that's big time, even though it's against 2 rivals. I get it. But the last thing I want to say is that I believe Reed really kind of experiments in his own division. I think he lets the defense do their thing like he did last year with Charvarius Ward, I think, if I'm not mistaken, against the Chargers. But I like what he's doing here. He's letting the defense gain confidence. It's not so much about the offense.
Yep.
And eventually they'll both come together. Thanks, guys.
Hey, the thing about the Raiders is they finally got some receiving yards from wide receivers at the end of the game, but they went tight end. Waller, big game. Washington to play with Mahomes at Texas Tech from the running back position. 3 catches, 44 yards. Waller led the way. And that's not exactly corner matchups there. It's not. The corners did a great job in this game. Again, 4th and DVOA in pass defense coming in here. But the penalties is right. 9 for 80 against Tennessee. 8 for 120 against the Chargers. None today. And again, the Chiefs came in 18th in penalties. They were number 1 in penalties and penalty yards last year. They can't beat themselves. You don't beat this is what great teams do. This is the difference between the Patriots being good and the Patriots being great. They rarely beat themselves. And the Chiefs really in this game did not at all beat themselves, open the door, let the Raiders in this game.
Right.
It was just a dominating performance all the way around.
And it was the defense. It was the defense from the beginning to the end. And I'm still waiting for that moment. And it wasn't today. And it's again, the silver lining, because you haven't seen the offense and defense fully healthy playing well in the same game. You almost did today. And what was the result? A 40-9 victory. Yeah. Imagine in a game where they can really click on all cylinders together. I mean, you still haven't seen a game where it was completely everything going right for the Chiefs, and they're 8-4. They're 8-4. So what is it going to be when they're finally clicking all together?
It's a big game this week. I mean, it goes without saying, beating the New England Patriots changes the national narrative on the Kansas City Chiefs. Hopefully at this point people are talking about this defense a little bit.
A 40-9 win at Arrowhead Stadium. Get at us, 913-576-7610. Let's continue on with the phone calls and go to Batman. Batman, what's going on?
Brother, what's up? The deal of it is, Bink, I love you. I want to say happy birthday to Dan. He's wicked. But I'm telling you that the offense right here is a work in progress. We're just starting to get all these guys, our pieces back together where they're not injured and we're functioning like a machine, like the red machine. Okay, this thing's done. I'm telling you, the Patriots really don't have to win that game. And I'm looking for the Chiefs to just go ahead and win 5 in a row and roll right into the playoffs. How do you like that, brothers?
I like it. Another sign I like, too, Whitehead goes off sides, unabated to Patrick Mahomes, gets the unnecessary roughness for spiking Mahomes.
Right.
I like the fact, they didn't really show it, but the offensive line did go to Patrick Mahomes. I like that. I like that toughness. Hey, you're going to mess with our quarterback, you're going to mess with us. I like that. Even when Dieter was getting into it, there was Patrick Mahomes. They have each other's back, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's one thing I think you see in every Chiefs team, especially since Reed's come in Kansas City. They do really look at it as this family type of deal. If you mess with Patrick Mahomes, especially Patrick Mahomes, there's going to be, you know, repercussions for that. You saw the offensive line go over to his aid. But what was even more impressive was the fact that Mahomes went to help out Dieter when he was in a fight. You never see a quarterback helping another player.
No, that was a good thing. And how about the defensive line, too? If the defensive ends can set the edge and you force it in there, Colin Saunders, a big play today, Chris Jones, that I thought really manned up there in the second half. Chris Jones was the man-child there in the second half. Getting to the quarterback, stopping the run, ends up in this game, five tackles. If they can continue that, the Raiders were going to be a one-trick pony. Running the football was going to be about the only thing they could do today against the Kansas City Chiefs. And early on, they had a lot of success doing it. Josh Jacobs ran the ball. He was a man-child in this game. But with the missing ingredient for the Chiefs is that consistency at running back. In the pregame, I told you got to get in that circle of trust of Andy Reid. And I'm not sure McCoy's been in it. And it looked like Darrell Williams was in that circle of trust. And I told you that. He's the most consistent guy.
And then he had the hamstring injury.
Not the fastest guy, 4.72 at the combine. Not the fastest, even though next-gen stat, he had a nice run this year. It was pretty fast. But Darwin Thompson hadn't got himself in there. And I felt like Andy Reid was going to go with the flow. And I feel this way that he's going to do with the running game. Whatever running back's picking up the yards, who has the flow, who has the energy, who's getting those extra yards, guys that are feeling it, like Jacobs was. And then the Raiders go away from Jacobs when they needed to on crucial one-yard situations. They didn't go to him. Instead, they tried to be cute on plays instead of running with the guy that was averaging over 6 yards a carry. But again, Andy Reid, I think, is going to feel it out. It's going to be Bieniemy and Andy Reid kind of in McCullough, whatever, with the feeling who's getting the yards, who's feeling it that day, getting the bulk of the carries. Now's the time to shine, being that workhorse towards the end of the year.
Yeah, Darwin Thompson did get his time during what was really garbage time of this game. He finished with 11 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown, but there were some opportunities there where he had to show, okay, I can get the first down. He was able to do that. In my opinion, he gained what I think should be more playing time. He earned what I think should be more playing time moving forward, more legitimate playing time at the beginning of games. Darwin Thompson spoke with the media right after the game.
Just the first of many. I mean, I had the vets behind me cheering me on, the team, and I just knew I had to seal the deal, take over the game. I mean, close the game. Just close it up.
You obviously knew Damian was out today. How'd you approach this game thinking that maybe your role might be bigger going into the day?
I approach this game the same way every game. I mean, like, I'm going to be the starter going in the game. It don't change for me.
Darwin, Eric Bieniemy said this past week that you'd be getting some opportunity today. What was the preparation process like in knowing that you would be getting some extended minutes?
The same, it don't change. I practice like I'm first string every practice. I play like I'm first string. I mean, it don't change for me.
Can you walk us through that touchdown? It's kind of what you saw and how you got into the end zone?
Man, I was tired as hell, but I was like, I got to get in the end zone now. I got to close it up right now.
Darwin, your high school football coach passed away after a battle with ALS. How much more does that make this touchdown so much more meaningful for you?
RIP Coach Trimble, he taught me how to win. That's one thing he did teach me, how to make it happen.
What would he tell you after that touchdown today?
Good job. He'd slap me on the back, give me a hug. He'd just say, good job. I mean, we win. That's all he taught me is how to win, how to work hard, how to push myself to be great.
Obviously, you knew he had ALS, but when did you find out that he had passed away?
This morning.
How'd you find out?
Text from my little brother. My little brother played running back there as well. I mean, the number three at the running back position started with me, and he carried it on. And then a younger guy by the guy by the name of Noah Hernandez carried it on. And so just them guys texting me, my coach, my O-line coach. He was my running back coach at the time in high school. He texted us all, just a couple of guys that was from my senior class, and just told us he loved us and was grateful for those relationships.
What kind of influence did he have on your career?
And he taught me how to win. That's really where my foundation started. Just how to win, how to grind, how to work hard. I mean, ultimately it helped build to where I am today. If you just check out my story, I didn't start in high school, and it really taught me a lot. It taught me how to work and point the finger at myself and not everybody else. I'm very thankful for Coach Truman.
Darwin, what was that feeling like when you finally reached the end zone? What was the emotion that goes on your head?
Man, from preseason and then it was different. I was tired. I'm like, man, it was good. It felt good. I felt a lot more comfortable out there. It was just go play your game.
Who was the first player to congratulate you after you ran the
game? My eyes was closed looking at the ground like, man, I'm tired. But it was all the old linemen, Austin, and then Pat carried me off the field. and my stomach was hurting while I was on his pads. I'm like, Pat, put me down. I can't breathe. But yeah, they all showed love.
Do you have the football?
Somebody got it.
I saw Sherman.
Yeah.
Sherman grabbed it and made sure.
Yeah, Sherman told me he grabbed it and made sure I get it. So.
Looked like you might have gotten a little shot from one of your linemen there to get in. Did you feel that?
I have no clue. I just know I had to get in there. They probably did.
Even with such limited snaps, you still led the team in rushing. Just what have you sort of figured out between week one and now that has led you to have some comfort with the offensive line, knowing kind of where the holes are, the cutback lanes?
Be me. It'd be me. I mean, ultimately, after a little while, I was getting tired, and I was just running off reaction. It was just be me. You know the reads. You know how to run the ball. You've been doing it all your life. Just be you. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to be a superhero. Just play a game.
So if you heard during that sound, Darwin Thompson's high school coach had passed away today, and then he goes and gets that opportunity, really the first of the season, and gets that touchdown. It has to be an emotional moment for
him. I'm sure it was for him. And here's the thing, Pete. Earlier this week, you know, Eric Bieniemy talking about maybe more touches for Darwin Thompson. I don't know how many he gets without Darrell Williams.
I agree.
Darrell Williams, is they said hamstring injury, but it kind of looked like the knee there that kind of gave out on him, kind of a non-contact injury. I'm not sure Darwin gets much of a chance if Darrell Williams stayed in this game.
Yeah, I completely agree. It seemed like that Darrell Williams was the guy. I don't know what's going on with Andy Reid and the Chiefs and McCoy right now. It just is a little odd with his usage. I wonder if they really trust him out there. It seems weird, but it seemed like today – Darrell Williams was the lead back, right? So he goes out, and that leads to an opportunity for Darwin Thompson, and he certainly made the most of it.
5'8", 200 pounds, and he's built like a brick wall. I mean, dude is strong. Again, probably toughest pound-for-pound guy on the Kansas City Chiefs, but he got his chance. He stepped up when he had two for an injury, and he stepped up. The McCoy thing's weird. It's a little odd. The whole load management thing, his age, maybe they're preserving him for the end of the year. I mean, they don't plan on probably bringing him back at all, so...
It was an interesting experiment, but he is not the future. I mean, you can tell that he's probably at the end of his career.
Darwin Thompson gives them something different that they don't have. He's that kind of scat back that they don't have. And again, I thought Darwin Thompson, the way he's playing at St. Joe, was really positioning himself maybe for a crucial third down back type of role.
And on those plays at the end of the game, he was playing bigger than his size when it came to getting those first downs. And so I thought that was impressive as well. Someone who had... a somewhat impressive game, I think, after a few drops to begin the game, was Travis Kelce, who finishes with 5 receptions for a team-leading 90 yards. Here was Kelce in the locker room after the game.
How much of that was worked on by week, and how much of that is just affecting us from everybody working together?
Yeah, it's just a nonstop focus on the little things. The biggest thing you want to do going into the game is not lose the game personally, being the penalties, mistakes, drops. You just got to make a nonstop, conscious effort on doing the little things and not hurting the team. We're putting together some stuff. It was a little bit different from the last time we played. You know, in the past couple games that they had, and hats off to them for switching it up. But I don't think there's anything we weren't ready for. We just got to go out there and execute.
We
always know who Patrick Mahomes is. Like, don't ever get a choice. Whether it looks like we're starting offense and we're out there flying around putting up 40 points, we're doing all the faith in the world and what Patty's doing out there, his instincts and high game.
It's just the third time that you and Patrick and Tyreek have all played in the same game together this year. Does that a little bit have to do with the timing?
I think the flow of the game is a little bit more smooth when we got all the weapons out there like we had today.
Some people say next week's game, not a big game. Not you guys. I'm just saying other people say, well, you know, they've got the AFC West wrapped. They probably won't catch New England, but it's a huge game for you guys from the standpoint of just going up there and trying to put your flag in the ground against the Patriots, isn't it?
I think it's an opportunity, just like every single week, to go out there and play football and play your tail off for the guys next to you and try and come out with a win. I mean, it is what it is. Everyone's looking at what happened last year in the AFC championship game, and they want to see the rematch, but I think we're just going to take it one game at a time and see where everything unfolds.
No special meaning then, being New England?
There's no special meaning.
I know it's gratifying, obviously, when they try to
but is it somewhat different to get a win when you do the little things right, when you have to rely on the big plays?
The best feeling in the world, be able to come away knowing that, you know, all the small things that come throughout the week, especially when it's something that we haven't been necessarily perfect at throughout the season, but being able to go out there and wrap things up and come away with a win the way we're supposed to.
Travis, this team has had to go through so much adversity by way of injury. How much of an impact has that had on the connectivity and just overall progress you've seen with this team and what they can overcome?
I mean, you just always have to keep the faith. It is what it is, and always have to believe that your teammates and your coaches are putting in a 1,000% effort just like you are. And from there, it's just wherever we go, we try and just make plays and play for the
outcome. How much of a competitive edge does that give you now going in this final stretch?
I think it's it just builds the beast. We're nonstop trying to build something and perfect our craft, and I think every single week we just keep getting better at what Coach has challenged for us.
You've been there before, seeing a guy score his first touchdown.
That was awesome, man. That was awesome, especially every drive like that. I mean, we handed the ball off to him. I don't know how many times, at least 10, I would assume. And to see him come away with one, as dog tired as he was, it was a cool feeling. I'm happy for him.
Travis, how much unfinished business is there for you guys in the room?
Unfinished business? I think we have a lot of business going up there and coming away with the win. In terms of unfinished business, we'll see where the season, how it unfolds and how everything, you know, comes together then.
How do you like your chances with this group? Why do you think of
how do I like my chances? I'll take this group against anybody in the league. Have a good one, guys.
You hear that from Travis Kelce. He's good with these guys against anyone in the league. We'll discuss that and more. We just got to pause for station identification.
Taking the kids to soccer practice Saturday? We're live and local all day long. Starting at 10, 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, Radio.com Sports Station.
So Kelce with some inspiring words there, Jay. He is ready to go to battle with these guys.
Hey, he takes this group against anybody. That's the kind of attitude they showed. That's the kind of attitude they displayed. They're not just saying it. They're acting upon it. Just the little things they're doing, having each other's back. And Pete, I told you earlier this season, before the season even started, maybe one day we're sitting up at St. Joe in the tent in the heat, and I said, doesn't this team just feel different? I mean, during the offseason, Mahomes is, you know, practicing with his receivers. They were together. They weren't just separate. They were together doing things. And I think that goes a long way. And I told you it seemed like Andy Reid, a different attitude this year. He was having fun. He's having a lot of fun. Not that he hasn't always having fun, but this year just seemed different with his team. But it's a very close-knit group. There's not the infighting. There's not the finger-pointing at times when the offense has been great, the defense. There's no finger-pointing going on with this team. But it seems like it's been a pretty tight-knit group that heads each other's back. And it was on full display. And Travis Kelce just echoing. He's talking the talk and walking the walk.
Chiefs win 40-9. Let's continue with your thoughts. 913-576-7610. Let's go out to Zach. Zach, what's on your mind? Zach, you got me? Hey, Zach. Nope. Aaron, what's going on? Aaron?
Oh, yeah, this is me. I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
Turn your radio down, Aaron.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
Fire away.
No apologies. Just go.
What's going on? Aaron.
Aaron,
you got to be ready to go.
Aaron, that was sad. I mean, come on,
DJ, you got one more thought for us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, one more thought. What's up?
Oh, nothing, man. I think Sprint doesn't like me talking to you guys. I don't know. what I was going to say was two things, and I'll get off of here. One, I was just listening to Jay talk, and I agree. The defense looks a lot more cohesive.
Yep.
There's a lot more aggression, a lot more togetherness, and like a lot less mistakes. This is a championship-type defense. I hope it stays that way. But I wanted to get some feedback from you guys, and I'll listen later on. I feel like we need a statement game, and I feel like the statement game is the Patriots. I feel like Andy needs to go out and coach flawlessly, pretty much how he did tonight, needs to make a statement against Bill Belichick that, look, man, you guys are vulnerable. I'm not going to let y'all stand in the way of my championship here. And do you guys feel like if and when we win that game, that we're going to go to the Super Bowl?
No question about it. No question about it. This is a statement game. Going up there, putting an exclamation mark on it by beating the Patriots in New England. The Patriots have been the thorn in the side. Yes, there's been some nice Chiefs victories over the Patriots, including 2014 when they paced them. But New England goes on and wins the Super Bowl that year. Last year, I thought the Chiefs could have flipped the narrative in the National Football League in the offseason. Had they beaten the Patriots in that postseason game, with this defense, I believe they could have. And last year's defense was just good enough without an offsides by Dee Ford to be in the Super Bowl. But yes, it is a statement game to show that there's a new sheriff in town, and that's Pat Mahomes. Andy Reid versus Belichick, it's an interesting game. It's 1 week. Andy Reid's shown what he can do, you know, when he's had that offseason to prepare for the Patriots. But now it's going to be week to week against Belichick. Belichick's playing on Sunday night. Andy Reid can sit back, see what the Patriots are doing. But yeah, this is a statement game for the Kansas City Chiefs. No question about it if they've arrived or not. If the Chiefs beat the Patriots, it'll be bigger than when the Ravens did it. Because when the Ravens did it, and they've been playing great, but that was they've arrived. You know, they had that Johnny Manziel beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa moment where everybody believes in you because you did something you weren't supposed to do. If the Chiefs go to New England and cement that game, it does many things for this organization's confidence. Not only that, Pete, they go the rest of the year undefeated. They still have 2-4 at Arrowhead Stadium. They beat the Patriots. They finished 12-4.
Also, for what it's worth, Binkley, on your note, James Palmer of NFL Network tweets out that Derek Carr said the Chiefs didn't do anything differently than they normally do. They just disguised it well and did it during different times of the game where they usually don't, which would show you the big significance and the difference of Bob Sutton and Spags.
No question. And Spags is really coaching his butt off lately. And again, what has improved the most on this team? The secondary. What is Steve Spagnuolo? He's a secondary coach by nature. He was a secondary coach in college, been that way in the NFL. Credit him, Dave Merritt, Sam Madison, that defensive back group. And you know what? Credit the fact that they went out to find an Eric Berry-type leader for this team that plays. And they got that in Tyrann Mathieu.
Here's what I think. Next week can be a statement game, but it's also a reality game. Because if the offense continues to play like it is, you're not going to beat the New England Patriots. If you're making mistakes early in the game, I think about the drops by Kelce early on.
But no turnovers and no penalties is a big way to carry that on.
I understand, and I completely agree. I think it is a statement if you go to Foxborough and you get that victory. There's no doubt about it. But is the Chiefs' offense good enough? Because the defense can play this well. Tom Brady's still going to score some points on you, I think. So it's can the offense hold up their end of the bargain? We're going to see next week. It is a statement game if you win. It is a reality game either way.
We know Pat Mahomes can put on the track shoes. We know he can put on the track shoes and go toe for toe with any quarterback in this league. What we haven't seen is a defense standing up where he doesn't have to.
Right.
Pat Mahomes did not need to go throw for 200 yards. He did not need to throw
first time
for 300
in his life.
Yards. They were able to run the football at the end of the game.
Right.
No penalties. Yes, Pat Mahomes can go toe for toe with you, but also this is a game you didn't have to. These are the type of games right here you hang your hat on.
That's right, and it all started with the defense and with Tyrann Mathieu, who had the first pick of the game, and it really demoralized Derek Carr, leading to the Chiefs' 40-9 victory. Here is Tyrann Mathieu with the media right after the game.
Maybe come together defensively the last few games.
Man, you know, just committing ourselves to the process. I think from this point going forward, I think it's important to play defense. I think every team that makes the playoffs is going to be about what their defense could do. So, I think this week, you know, we refocused. Thought our coaches did a good job of, you know, challenging us. I thought the bye week helped us. Kind of knew what we needed to work on, you know. Like I said, I'm just proud of our guys. We haven't really played well at home. And to have that kind of performance against a division team, pretty good.
Is this becoming a defensive team?
Well, I don't know. You know, we got a big one next week. So, we got to stick to the process. Show up for work Tuesday. We're constantly chasing improvement. So, we want to be our very best when it matters the most. And so really proud of our guys. They stepped up, made some big plays today.
Yeah. I mean, what do you see or feel, and it may not even be on Sunday during the games, what do you see or feel that makes you know that this is real, these last two games that you guys are playing?
I think it's practice. Guys showing up. We've been staying committed to the process. I think Spags do a great job of, detailing, what it is we need to work on. I think for a secondary player, I think Coach Merritt do a great job of really getting us to see the big picture, how teams are really trying to beat us and attack us. And I think a combination of all those things is really allowing us to play faster. The system isn't new anymore. We're in December, so I think everybody got a good feel for, you know, what they need to do, what they can do and what they can't do. We got a long way to go, but I like what we're putting on tape. Trying to finish football games, you know, playing aggressive man coverage, and then letting our big guys get after it.
How much did having Kendall back this week help you guys too?
Well, I think any time you get a guy like him, you know, who's a veteran, a true team player, who can come in, kind of like myself, play multiple positions, and it allows us to kind of have some integrity within our defense. A lot of people don't know what's going on. A lot of people don't know where I'm lining up at. And so I think the more and more guys you can kind of put on the field to kind of help disguise a whole integrity of the defense, I think it'll help us out collectively a lot going forward.
Tyler, how do you see the
big time. Pissed off he missed the sack. You know, DBs, we don't have too many games where we could kind of, you know, get the sack, touchdown, and interception. So, but he's playing great ball, making some big-time plays for us, making some tough tackles. He's coming out of his shell, you know, especially in practice, communicating. You know, some days I don't say nothing. I just let him run the show. And, you know, he's handling that well.
Was there something you noticed on film about Derek Carr that allowed you guys to get a good read on him today?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we knew when he did take shots down the field, we could kind of, if we was able to kind of understand pre-snap, you know, the formation, it would have put us in position to make a play. But I think Derek, you know, he's going to try his best to take care of football. So, you know, tight ends, running backs, check downs, that's kind of his game. So, you know, I was glad that we were able to capitalize on him when he did try to throw the ball downfield.
That interception that you had, you weren't really supposed to be there, were you? Did you sort of break things off, sort of read him and make a play yourself?
Yeah, I just watch a lot of tape, man. And, yeah, once I see something, I just see it. Sometimes I make it, sometimes I don't.
But it looked like he expected you, you know, to continue up the field covering, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah, without a doubt. So that's why you got to see where I'm at all times.
Well, you faced different versions of the Patriots in other places. What do you think about going there against those guys with this group? How do you like your chances?
Well, I like our chances. I think this week of practice really be about, you know, discipline, assignment discipline, technique discipline, because that's what the Patriots are going to do. They're going to wait for you to get out of gap. They're going to wait for a deep safety to not be deep, you know. So I starts with me, you know, this week in practice, getting our guys ready, setting the tempo early in the week, letting them know that we got a big game this week.
Tyron, you feel like beating the Patriots would be a big step for this team? Lost twice to them last year, both on walk-off scores by the Patriots. You feel like this would be a big deal?
Well, you know, I think in my mind, anytime you get to line up, play against anybody, in December, when you got a chance to clinch your division or make the playoffs, all those games are big-time games. You know, like I just said, I understand what the Patriots present, and we're going to do our best to make sure that we're ready to roll Sunday.
The always confident Tyron Matthew after the game.
He basically takes what he wants. Wasn't that the whole thing, the Honey Badger? They always take what they want? Even asked him that question, Pete. He watched a lot of film. He saw what he wanted and he took it. He baited Derek Carr. Throw the football. I'm going to take what I want. He's the Honey Badger. That's what they do.
In this game,
most dangerous animal in the kingdom. Hardest working animal in the kingdom.
Hey, if I'm not mistaken, that was Sam with the Kansas City Star asking if he broke off that play. And he just said, just watches a lot of film, man.
He takes what he wants, man. That's what Honey Badgers do. I told you this from day one.
A good game for Tyron Matthew, a good game for Chris Jones, who recorded a sack in this game. Here was Chris Jones after the game.
That was good effort by defense, I think.
Yeah. I feel like we played pretty well. We got to do better in the run game. I think we gave up 111 yards, so we definitely got to get better at that. But overall, I feel like we played okay. I feel like there's still room for improvement.
Well, you have Jar taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, progression. Each week, that's what we plan around, getting better each week, each game. And I feel like we got better than we was 2 weeks ago.
What's it feel like being, you know, having control of the AFC West now after this big win over the Lions?
Feels like every other win, man. And, you know, every win in this league is important, especially against a division rivalry. Come out and execute it well. Defense played their butts off. My guy won, got his first interception for a touchdown. You know, you like to see things like that. But most importantly, it's about the win.
What about next week? Just New England Patriots, and this is a team you'd really like to establish a little bit something on, just in case you're going to have to meet him again later?
Yeah, we know Tom Brady and Bill Belichick always have an excellent game plan. You know, we know what we're against, and you got a preparation. You know, preparation is the key to those guys. You got to prepare better than them.
You mentioned Juan getting the pick six. How do you feel like the secondary as a whole is coming along and coming together these past couple of games?
They played exceptional. You know, they two picks for today, right?
Yes, sir.
T5 got a pick. And, that started us off. I think it was second down. T5 got the pick. And those things right there can kind of add the spark to the defense. You know, they gave us enough time to affect Derek Carr, forced him to throw. We got able to get out to Derek Carr. And, that's what we expect them to do. You bring a veteran guy like T5 in and to coach the younger guys around him. And, you know, that's nothing but expected by T5.
All year you talked about the getting more acquainted with the game plan of Spagnuolo, the system. You feel you're running around freer now. Everybody's kind of on one unit now, just especially when you get to the stretch run here.
Yeah, I mean, it's week 13. If you're not acquainted with the game plan, I don't think you should be playing. Just simple as that. It's week 13. You know, we only got, 3 weeks left in the season, three or four. So, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have the game plan by now, I don't think you should be playing. But I'm quite sure everybody on this defense has the game plan. I think we're utilizing it to our best ability, and we're making plays.
Chris, you mentioned Josh Jacobs. Is there anything in particular that you're seeing that maybe you guys can correct going into next week in the running game?
I'm going to watch film first before, you know, I'm not, never, ever will I call out one of my teammates. We just got to get better as a whole. Watch film, make corrections to our errors, and get better.
Jones a little testy after the game, but a good game for him, a sack, and the defense performed well as a whole.
And really quick, Pete, was something he said there. It's game 13, you knew the game plan. Chargers last year, game 14, remember? Eric Berry putting people in position?
Yep.
In 12 plays, Eric Berry was up there lining up. They didn't know the game plan.
That's right.
It's I don't know if there's an indictment on Sutton or what, but guys know the game plan. I don't think they knew it last year at times.
Yeah, it's an indictment on somebody for sure. But the Chiefs do manage the victory 40-9 at Arrowhead Stadium. If you want to get involved, please do. You can text us 69306 on the Protein Housey with the Purpose text line, or call us 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. When we come back, we'll hear the Arrowhead Pride sounds of the game. You are listening to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Third and goal from just outside the three. Over to Darrell Williams. There's a flag out as he finds the pylon for the touchdown. But the Raiders say it's going to be against Kansas City. We'll see.
Now they might get Kelce for a pick, and I'm not sure he even needed to. They might. This could go either way. It's one of those, did he pick him or did he not?
Result, there's no foul. Touchdown.
Touchdown pass, number 20 of the season for Mahomes. Now at the 13th, Joyner missed a couple of plays. He's back out. Looking, wide open field. Wide open for Mahomes. He high steps it in for the touchdown. His first rush touchdown of the season.
Well, he shows you that he's fine. He's running good. No more injury stuff. He's looking. Makes a great decision not to throw against a whole bunch of people in the middle. And then just shows you, if you cover everyone, I can still move.
Starting to figure out his system with each passing week. And here we go. The defense with the steal and the run back. It's Thornhill, the rookie, for his first NFL touchdown on the pick six.
Thornhill, outstanding job of communication with him and Breland. Take a look right here. He's talking to Breland. Hey, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the motion. Hey, they look at each other again. I got it if he comes inside.
There's McClellan. He's not going to be stopped for the touchdown. He could just walk it in, really, to a slow jog off the left side. Eric Fisher cleared it out. And the Raiders deflated after the interception was taken away.
Just a great job by Robinson, 11, the receiver on the left, blocking down. You see easy running for McCoy, no one even out there. You like it when you get that many yards before you see even anybody even around you.
The AP Sounds of the Game are courtesy of CBS and are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Jay, one thing I remembered from listening to the AP Sounds of the Game was the scramble by Pat Mahomes, a 13-yard scramble. Clearly as close to 100% as he's going to be now entering the final stretch of the season.
And really, that was one of the big things to take away from the Mexico City game about him scrambling, the 59 right. yards. Like, he's fine. Like, Mahomes,
this was like a confirmation.
His ankle doesn't seem to be bothering either. That was the other thing. The knee, the ankle on the other side, on the left side, doesn't seem to be bothering that.
Great
by the way, BetOnline has the Patriots 3.5-point favorites over the Chiefs at home. That's basically, home team gets those 3 points anyway. And again, it, you know, it hinges on the night, injuries, things like that. Now, the Patriots are a sick team. What they took two planes. What would Romo say? He took two planes.
They ended up taking two planes to Houston because half the team was sick. So, in order to prevent more people getting sick, they kind of had a quarantine of half the team.
Yeah, they own their own jet, too. It's extreme. Like a 757. They own their own. Leather seats, big, comfortable. That was probably the non-sick people to get the right, the nice jet.
We know Robert Kraft has plenty of jets. You know, if he has to fly in late to Kansas City, so after in the morning, he can do that. The Arrowhead Pride postgame show is presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. If you want to get involved, 913-576-7610. Let's go out to the phone lines and talk to Butch. Butch, what'd you think of the game?
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. I liked it. Here, let me step outside real quick. I'm at Canterbury L House here in downtown Seattle after watching the Chiefs get an amazing win. Yeah, and I will say this much. I'll make a couple quick points. So I'll get off the line.
Sure.
It's tough to complain about a 40-9 win. I was a little concerned about the offensive line play. It looks like every couple dropbacks from Pat in the first half, he was rolling out to his right, bailing out of the pocket to his right-hand side. Hopefully that's something they can get fixed before going into next week. I think the second big point is Chiefs need to go ahead and claim Derek Carr on their taxes. He is officially their son. Whenever he comes to Kansas City, this man cannot. It's in his head now. We're good, but we're not that good, I don't think, for them to get blown out. So let's call this game for what it was. It was a great win. This was an audition, gentlemen. We are auditioning for what's going to happen next week. We come out next week, and it's not about what we do. It's what we didn't do. No turnovers. No penalties. I don't think we had any penalties.
No penalties.
We keep this game clean, and we end up winning in New England. That's going to change a lot of minds about who's going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
It's definitely coming off the bye week with a little bit of oomph for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not to mention, they had two sacks today against the Raiders. Why is that significant? The Raiders have given up the fewest sacks in the NFL. I understand the Cowboys did play on Thanksgiving. They're tied with the Cowboys coming into this game with 16 sacks given up. Chiefs have relatively done that, too, with that hodgepodge offensive line at times. Mahomes just sacked one time today in the pocket. But, credit the Chiefs defense putting a little pressure on Derek Carr. He had that deer look in the headlights, man. I've seen deer on the highway give you that look. I've really been, down the highway, seen that look that Derek Carr gave the Chiefs several times.
The Patriots and the Houston Texans are underway right now, so the Chiefs get a few more hours to prepare. If you don't think Andy Reid is counting those hours, you got another thing coming. Reid takes all the hours he could possibly get to prepare for this big of a game. I bet he heads right back to his office to watch this game with some of the Chiefs coaching staff members. Andy Reid did talk to the media right after this 40-9 win. Here's the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Some difficulties there.
All right.
Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry about that.
As far as the injuries go, we had a couple of them. So, Rashad Fenton tweaked his hamstring, as did Darrell Williams. And then Frank Clark hurt his shoulder. So, I think we're going to be okay with as we go on with those guys, but we'll see how that goes. Listen, my hat goes off to the Raiders. Mike Mayock and John Gruden, I think, have done a nice job of that team. And then on the other side of that, I'm also very proud of our guys. And I thought it was a pure team win. And all three phases contributed, which is important this time of the year. And so and some of the young guys, Juan Thornhills, did a nice job. He's been so close on these interceptions, and here he gets a big one. Tyron got another one, which was huge. Between Fenton and O'Daniel taking care of the fumble on special teams, that was a nice thing. And then offensively, just the fact of not having the penalties, really on either side of the ball, but not having the penalties, you can do some good things if you do that, and then you're productive in the red zone. Normally good things happen. And then it was good to get Darwin in and get him a few reps as he continues to grow in the NFL and in our offense. So all in all, a good win. Time's yours.
Andy, what was the key to the penalties, the
different
penalties? Obviously, it's a point of emphasis, but
how did
you get there?
Well, I compliment the players on that. I mean, they're the ones out there playing, and they did a nice job with it. It was a mindset that they had, and it all worked out. So.
Coach, were you surprised, I guess, the first pass in the field that you all challenged didn't get called, but the second one that ended up being a Patrick Kelly interception was reversed and you all just won on that play?
Yeah, listen, I mean, things happen. So I've obviously challenged it because I thought we'd have a chance, but it didn't work out, but we ended up getting the other one. So I'm happy about that.
But did you have, like, well, yeah. Did they look at it because of the turnover, or did you try to challenge
them? I didn't challenge them, no.
Where do you, like, kind of draw the line between you're not reversing anything versus I got to challenge this just in case? Like, how do you
Yeah, well, I felt like the first one, you know, I needed to do it. Didn't get the first one, so I wasn't sure I'd get the second one. So, but they took care of it, and they fixed it.
I just mean overall, whole season with the way that they're just not reversing anything. As a coach, how do you balance?
Well, they've thrown a couple out there where they have. And so, you got to go off of what you see. Trust the guys in the box on the replays. And I just, subjective decision. You know, if I think it's right time, then I do it.
Andy, what do you see happen with the defense these last few weeks? I know you felt like there was a pickup, but maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks now. That now kind of playing anything and changing something.
Yeah, I mean, I think Spags done a nice job. I mean, the coordinators, I thought, put together a nice game plan. EB on offense and Dave on the special team side, and then Spags on the defensive side. I just and the guys they're into it. The young guys are gaining experience as we go. We still have plenty of room to improve, but we're seeing improvement every week. So that's a plus. But we got to keep our foot to the pedal there and keep pushing.
How many people were coached about Sean McCoy a couple weeks ago? To the NFL. Talk about his play today, scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, no, he did a nice job. He had productive runs today. And, I mean, we're not fooling anybody here. I mean, he's not getting any younger. So it's my responsibility to manage him the best I can. And I think I know him as well as anybody. So I'm going to do what I think is right on that. If it's wrong, then it's my fault, right? So I'll take that on my shoulders there. But I know he wants to play every play. And he loves to play. But I've also got to trust what I do on that part.
Coach, whether it's Darwin or Colin Saunders made a few plays, obviously. Just how important is it to defend the players that we left?
Yeah, they've done a nice job. I mean, it's tribute to Brett and the guys that he's brought in here, and what they're producing. They're getting better every week, and then their coaches for working with them. So there's a lot of time that's being spent with the young guys to try to catch them up as fast as you can. So it's been good that way, and there's no better time than right now. I mean, each game is an important game here, and as you go, and so you gotta grow fast, and they've been working on that.
Maybe just offensively, I mean, obviously you had 40 points on the board, but didn't look like everything was really in sync either at times. What would you say is happening there?
Yeah, you know, there were enough good things that I didn't mention Kels with the 9K, you know, and all those things. Well, hey, but everything's not going to be perfect. you're dealing with some elements now, and you've got to work through those things. But there's enough good there that if we start critiquing a couple bad ones, then we're missing out on some pretty good ones.
All right. Last one. Just real quick. Was the wind a little more of a factor than we might have been able to tell from up top?
Well, you probably didn't notice that it was windy today.
So it was.
Yeah, so it was windy, but I thought we did pretty good with it. You know, we had a pretty productive day.